We want to thank everyone for being here today. We want to welcome our visitors especially. We're so blessed to have you here, and we have been blessed in recent weeks and months with many visitors. So we're thankful for that. And if you're a visitor watching this on the live stream, we're thankful that you're here for that also. Kai, we appreciate you leading that song. We thank you so much for leading singing for us here at this body. We have a number of young men that are growing in their ability to lead singing. We're blessed, and we're thankful for that. Let's go to our God in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful for the many blessings that we can sing praises to you, that we can take in and assemble around the table, remembering your Son and his sufferings, his death, his resurrection. And Father, we are so thankful for that ability to do. Today, as we look at this lesson, help us to focus on the fact that the Son arose. We also ask you to be with Tyler as he's ill today, and we would pray for healing for him, and that he could return to be here with us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We want to talk about the Son arose. Each Sunday morning I get up and we watch, as several of us members in this body do, the what's called In Search of the Lord's Way. And our brother Phil Sanders brings a lesson. And one of the series he brought about 3 months ago, I guess, or maybe a little bit longer, was a month series on the Son arose. And that was a very meaningful lesson. He also put his lessons into a little booklet. There's some out in the foyer if you want to pick one up. It says The Son Arose, and you're welcome to take those. What I'm going to talk today about kind of comes from his lessons, so I want to give him the credit for that. In Psalms 16:10 and in Acts 2:27, we read, "For I will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption." And in Acts 13:35, therefore, he says also in another psalm, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." And Jesus, as he was teaching, and as we read in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, we see that it's told to us over and over that Jesus will be rose from the dead. And we look at Matthew 16, verses 21, and it says, "From the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day." Many places we read and Scripture tells us about that, and we look at the disciples and apostles after Jesus had died and had not reappeared to them, they were quite fearful. As we look into Scripture, we see that Jesus appears to them in John 20:19, and we read, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, were the disciples were afraid of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, 'Peace be with you.' The disciples, apostles, locked themselves up because of their fear of the Jews." We also read in Luke 24 and verse 10, "And now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to be idle tale, and they did not believe them." So even after the ladies saw that Jesus arose from the dead, the apostles did not want to believe it. They regarded it as an idle tale. But we look on some more, and we see even more evidence of this doubt. So the other disciples in John, the 25th chapter and 25th verse, so the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Are we like Thomas? Do we hear the message, read the scriptures, and yet we never believe? Many in the world would not tell you that they believe that Jesus arose from the dead. But as we will see more and more, there is much evidence that tells us for sure that Jesus arose from the dead. And then we look into Matthew 28, verses 6 through 10, and we read that account starting in verse 6. "For he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he laid, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb, and with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell the disciples, and behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up, and they took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there I will see them there." Do we look at Jesus and his resurrection with great joy in our lives? Do we think of it? Do we appreciate it? Do we cherish it? We look on into the Acts' second chapter, verses 22 through 24. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to a definite plan, foreknowledge of God, you crucified and you killed him by the hands of the lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it is not possible for him to be held in it." And we look into Acts, and then we continue on. We see where Jesus presented himself among those apostles and disciples for a period of 40 days. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians verses 15, verses 3 through 8. And this is very special scriptures to me as I read it and I've studied looking at it, the lesson that was prepared in The Sun Arose. "For I delivered unto you the first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive. And though some have fallen asleep, then he appeared to James, and then to all of the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me," Paul writes. When we think and we read that scripture, and we look at the other recordings in the Bible, I think beyond a shadow of doubt, we know that Christ arose. But also, when we look at also the recordings in the history at that time, it also reflects that Christ arose. And so this is proof for us as we go about our lives and we go looking about how we live our lives. We need to hold to that thought that Christ is risen. Then we take that thought and we take the preparation now that has been made for the disciples, the apostles, and we read the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." The lives of the apostles were changed once they saw a risen Savior. It greatly influenced them. They saw that the message of Christ was complete. We saw that they arose from that teaching and from that experience of 40 days with Christ. Their faith was made strong, and they went about throughout the world teaching. And they went about the world teaching and baptizing folks. But this was at no small cost to them. For this dedication and belief in God led them to take in and to be subjected to cruel punishment, even to the point of death. Just to name a few of those, there are many that are listed in the scriptures and also in the history recordings of that time. Stephen, as we recall, was stoned. James was put to death. History tells us that Paul was beheaded, and Peter crucified upside down, and many more suffered and died for the cause of Christ, carrying out that great commission. Disbelief ran strong in the disciples until they saw a risen Savior. We can read the whole account and today as Christians, as we read the scriptures. We know for a fact that it teaches us of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. How do we respond to his resurrection? What is it to us? The belief in the resurrection of Christ should strengthen our faith to the point that we will act on it. We will be faithful to him, and we will carry out his will. But just in the New Testament times, before they saw Christ, there were many that had doubt, and there are many today that have doubt. There are many that think maybe he's arisen, but they haven't spent the time to study it, to devote their minds to it, and to keep their eyes focused on him. We look at Revelation, the 21st chapter, and verse 8, and it tells us, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, and the detestable, they will all find their portion in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Today we've talked a little bit about the resurrection of Christ, and we talked about it, the importance of us cherishing that. We remember that it talked about the Mary and the ladies, the fact that they accepted that, seeing Christ with great joy. They were fearful, but they had great joy. So today, the question for us is, what's our thoughts about the resurrection of Christ? Will we find in our hearts, in our minds, and our devotion to God to be faithful to him and to cherish this resurrection and appreciate it, to teach it to our families, to teach it to those that we come in contact with, to be willing to stand for it, even to the point of death? We need to think about that. We need to reflect on it. You know, when we look at God's plan for saving man, he tells of his divine love in John 3:16. God's grace is in Ephesians 2:8. And Christ's blood is talked about in Romans 5:9. The Holy Spirit's word is in Romans 1:16. And the sinner's faith is in Acts 16:31. The sinner's repentance is in Luke 13:3. The sinner's confession can be found in Romans 10:10. The sinner's baptism is in Acts 22:16, as an example. The Christian's love is in Matthew 22-37. And the Christian's work is outlined in James 2:24. The Christian's hope, we read in Romans 8:24. And the Christian endurance is in Revelations 2:10. Think about these things. Think about how your life is. And if we can help you respond to the gospel, we would love to do it at this time while we stand and sing.